Thank you for tuning in to Tuolumne Community Baptist Church. This is Sunday morning, and I'm relaxing right now at home because I have COVID. Oh, how wonderful. My wife and I both came down with COVID this last week. We had flu-like symptoms for a while, and they seem to have reprieved and not feeling bad at all at this point. I'm really hoping and praying that I test negative and I could be back at the pulpit next Sunday, because next Sunday is Christmas Eve. I do not want to miss our Christmas Eve service during the day, and then we're having our candlelight service Christmas Eve evening at 6 o'clock. I don't want you to miss that. This week, my brother Jim Reville, I like to call him my associate pastor. He is stepping in for me and preaching on the life of Joseph today, the unsung hero. What a guy Joseph is. But we know so very little about him. So he's going to tell us a little about Joseph and what he must have been going through and thinking through this whole process. God bless you. I hope you enjoy the message. And please, please, please come see us on Christmas Eve next Sunday, 10:30 here in Tuolumne. God bless you. Bye-bye.
I'd like to open up in a scripture, Philippians 4:4-7. And I didn't give this to Edward back there. He's such a great guy, man. He really makes you look good. But it says, it's one of my favorite scriptures. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And it says, I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Here it is. Do not be anxious about anything. And you know in the Greek and the Hebrew, and that, you know what anything means? Anything, okay? Good question. No potluck? No sugar-free cookies for Jim? Nothing. Okay. Too hard.
There will be cookies.
So it talks about not to be anxious about anything, but it says in every situation, by three things, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. I have this all over my house, all over my car, every place I go, I read it every day. Did you know God's promises are true? Yes and amen. They truly are. He blesses his people. So, Father, I just ask that you would open everybody's hearts and minds and let them put aside the things of the world right now, the things that are bothering them, things that are oppressing them, Father, and let them have a moment of peace with you as we study your word. Thank you for this opportunity, and we just praise you in your son's name. Amen. 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 Well, George asked me to preach, and I appreciate it. And he gave me a very good topic to preach on. He said, could you preach on Joseph? And I said, sure, it's only a page. It's not a page. And, I did all the wrong things. First place, there is a lot of misinformation about Joseph in that and Mary. And it goes back to tradition. Now, what did they do? What did the people do at that time? And the scripture that kept coming up was in 1 Corinthians 4. It says, do not go beyond what is written. And that's true. It's easy to come up here and read a story about Joseph that's really not in the Bible. And I take the scriptures very seriously when it says, do not go beyond what is written. Now, it doesn't mean it's not true, because we don't know what went on in those days, and we probably could hit it pretty close based on the fact that we have archaeologists digging up cities and towns and things that they did. But when the word says don't go beyond what is written, that's what I do. I don't go beyond what is written. And then I sat down as I was reading it, and I'm thinking, well, this man Joseph, George hit on it a little bit, and it was like, well, I didn't know he was going to be sick, so I wasn't listening real well. No, I was. And I said, well, there's not a lot about Joseph. And then God again spoke to my heart in Scripture. He tells me, he says, all Scripture is God's breath and useful for instruction, for conviction, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so the man or woman will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then when I got done with the lesson late last night, it was like, man, I did learn a lot about Joseph, and he is an amazing example for us men how we should be. Now, I mean, think of the things he was put through. So when we start reading in Matthew, that's where we'll start in Matthew 1. You'll find out that the book of Luke and the book of Matthew are basically the only two books that talk about Joseph. And a lot of it is redundant a little bit, but there's a reason for it. So when we start on reading Matthew 1:1, we cover 42 generations. Did you know that? 42 generations are written from Abraham to Christ, and it looks like this. Now, I am not going to read every generation, 42 generations, thus I will see a mass exit out the back door. But I'll give you an example. It says, when Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob. You know that, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Remember how many brothers? Then Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. And Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Ram. Are you getting it? Yes. You taking notes? Good. And Ram, the father of Abinadab, and Abinadab, the father of Nashon, and Nashon, the father of Salmon, S-S-A-L-M-O-N, and then Salmon, the father of Boaz, who was the mother, whose mother was Rahab. So what I did to spare us the time, because there is 42 generations, I said, we'll leave some time and generations and restart reading in Matthew 1, verses 15 through 17. And he says, Mathan was the father of Jacob. Why is that important? Well, what comes next? So, and Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Isn't that amazing? And everybody says, well, how can that be Jacob? Well, guess what? There's two people named Jacob, and one was 500 years before, and one is now. So Jacob, the father of Joseph, and the husband of Mary. So there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David. So that's a quiz that you can pull on one of your neighbors or friends and ask them how many generations are from Abraham to David. There's 14. And from David to the exile to Babylon, there are 14 generations. And from the exile to the Christ, found in Matthew 17, is another 14 generations. So it's amazing how God uses numbers. Now, I don't know why, 14 generations. And so if you take that times 3, that's 42 generations. And if you look in the book of Revelation, you have all kinds of numbers. You have Revelation, especially in the tribulation, split in half. 3.5 years, or 42 months, or you have so many days. But it's an amazing how God uses numbers. I don't know why. And those of you that are much smarter than me on it can maybe tell me why. I think God is just, kind of saying, figure this one out. Now, what could be a generation? Generation could be 30 years or a time of body of living beings constituting a single step in the line of descent from an ancestor. Did you get that? I think we had only 5 copies printed out, but I can say that again slowly. So a generation could be one of 2 things. It could be 30 years or a time of body of living beings, that's us, constituting a single step in the time of descent from an ancestor. You'll notice that from Abraham to David, and that is, they might call that a generation. Then it says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. We get to the real stuff. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she found she was with child through the Holy Spirit. How would you like that when it happened? Come home and your betrothed tells you she's pregnant, yet she's still a virgin. How's that go over? And then some of you will start drinking. Some of you would do what? Yeah. That would be a hard one. So Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, though. And boy, when you're called a righteous man by God, that means a lot, what a righteous man is. Righteousness basically means right standing with God. So Joseph was right standing with God. And he did not want to expose her to a public disgrace. And so that was a man that had feelings and had emotions under control and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly, as found in Matthew 18:1-18. He would put her aside quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, now this is interesting. All of a sudden, angels are appearing to Joseph. You know, and if you look at all through histories, angels, angelos, are messengers from God. So they're sending a message right to Joseph saying, here's what you're going to do, Joseph, and that. And one thing, the whole theme through the book which we talk about Joseph, is Joseph's obedience was immediately. He didn't think about it. He didn't talk to anybody about it. He just did it. And that, I'm sure there was a battle going on in his mind. You know, he's thinking, really, an angel? Really? My wife is impregnated by the Holy Spirit? Really? She never had, you know. So, but Joseph was a righteous man. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. That is one of the options they would have at the time. They could give her a letter of divorce or disgrace and make her a big disgrace among people and then send her back to her family's house. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. That's out of Matthew. And that. Now, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. What would you be saying? He said, you come and tell me you saw an angel, and the angel said, I need to take this woman home. She's a virgin. She's with child. Yeah. All right? Okay. And that would be, you know. And you wonder why sometimes people don't believe in Christianity. You ever think about it? You know, between Christ walking on water, that's a cool one, you know, walking in the oceans and that. Or the angels coming and telling Joseph that you're one that you're engaged to is already pregnant, but it was no man, it was the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. He said, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And they will call him, what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, oh, that's an interesting thing. So Joseph was asleep during this whole time. It took a lot. You know, you can become a skeptic. You think, you know, you saw an angel, but you were asleep. You know, there's a virgin with a babe inside of her, but she never had any relationships with men. Man, okay. So the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God's with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. The main thing with Joseph, which is an amazing man, he did things immediately. He didn't argue with God. You ever argue with God? You really want me to do what, Lord? You want me to ask that person for forgiveness, but they started it. Why do I need to? You ever argue with him? Yeah. But Joseph, every time he makes up his mind, he does exactly what God tells him to do. So now, Joseph was an unlikely choice to be the earthly father of Jesus. There was nothing about him on the surface that would have prompted any of us to consider him worthy. He wasn't big and tall. It didn't say, it really didn't describe Joseph. He said that he was a carpenter. That was the best we got. But that was interesting, because most stones or houses are built out of stone where they were living at. But I'm sure there was other things. The fishermen could have used them to make oars or keels or whatever. But they called him a carpenter. Joseph was an unlikely choice. And yet no other man, this is interesting, no other man in history had been charged with the tremendous responsibility he was given. Can you imagine that? Here, Joseph, I'm giving you a pregnant woman, all the baggage going along with that, and inside of her is the Messiah who is going to save the world, and you're going to be responsible for them. Okay. I guess that wasn't a yes or no question, was it? It was either. But Joseph, an amazing man. He wasn't randomly chosen by God. He wasn't chosen simply because he and Mary were engaged to be married. Oh, that was another thing. They were all engaged, right? And their engagement we're going to talk about was a little different than we talk about engagement. God had been at work in Joseph's life long before he ever knew the events that would unfold in his life. So God was working. God is an amazing God. He has this thing all planned out. And for us to even, I'm ashamed of myself that I would even question him when I hear a word from him is that really from you, God? No, Jim, I planned it from before the beginning of the world. Yes, it's for you, you know? So we have a tendency to do that. He was most definitely not an afterthought, Joseph was, or a footnote. He and Mary were betrothed because God had chosen them both and ordered their steps accordingly from before the beginning of time. He had all this planned out down to the last. I mean, God's got it planned down to the last hour. Did you know that? And if you read the book of Revelations, which we're studying in our Sunday morning class, God's got it down. Once that rapture happens and he starts calling people home and the tribulation starts, he's got it down to the day. He's got it down 7 years. And he'll tell you all the different things about those 7 years. That they would be 1,260 days by the Babylonian calendar, because it's different than the Greek and the Roman, or it's always numbers, 3.5 years, 42 months. It's very interesting. Which is one thing with Satan, he now knows his time. See, he doesn't know when the rapture is. Anybody know when the rapture is going to happen? No, you know, neither do I. So sometimes I think, you know, you ever have a little shaky earth and something, think, well, is this it? Yeah. So yet no other man in history had been charged with the tremendous responsibility he was given. He wasn't randomly chosen by God. He was chosen simply because he and Mary were engaged to be married. He was most definitely not an afterthought or a footnote. He and Mary were betrothed because God had chosen them both and ordered their steps accordingly. Now, God had been at work in Joseph's life long before he ever knew the events that would unfold in his life. So he had this all planned. He had these things going. How do we know when we can trust God that he has it under control? When he's asking us to do something that, like, no way, it's not. Yet he has planned that from the beginning of time, from the very beginning. Before the world was even created, he has a plan of it. So God had been at work in Joseph's life a long time before he ever knew the events would unfold in his life. Now God carefully molded and shaped Joseph into the man whom he could entrust with this special assignment. Can you imagine that assignment? And there was a lot of stuff going on. You know, when they left and went to Egypt and came back and that, it wasn't like, well, let's call an Uber so we can get there real quick. And they had to walk. And if they went with a caravan, there was possibility of thieves and robberies and different things on the road. And he's riding with a woman that's pregnant. And that, man, it's amazing. Though the information you discover, the heart and character of the carpenter called to raise his son. Through this information, we're going to see what God is asking Joseph to do. Now, Joseph encountered an angel of the Lord who gives him this startling news that Mary will be the mother of the Son of God. Now, if we jump to Matthew 1, 18 through 25, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as followed. This is all just in the first chapters of Matthew. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, they were found with child of the Holy Spirit. So that as they came together and they were pledged to each other as like an engagement, which is different than ours, in that all of a sudden Mary has to come in and tell Joseph, by the way, I'm pregnant. You know, what do you think that would have been like? Just Joseph out working in the workshop and in comes Mary at the end of the day and says, oh, by the way, Joseph, it's great that we're going to get married, but I'm already pregnant. Be a tough one to handle. So then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Joseph had this heart. He says, okay, I know all the consequences. One of them is I can put her away secretly. And he did. And he was going to do it. He didn't do it. And that. And that was one of the things he could have done. And she will bring forth, and this baby is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from sin. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, behold, this was prophesied ahead of time. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as he was the angel of the Lord commanded, and took to him his wife. So Joseph made the big step. So all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel. Now when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary to his home. But he had no union with her and until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now Joseph was an unlikely choice to be an earthly father of Jesus. That's something kind of rude to say. There's nothing about him on the surface that could have prompted any of us to consider him worthy. I believe that God takes us, those that are unworthy, and uses us for amazing things. And then our only problem is we don't say yes fast enough. We usually say, are you sure, God? You really mean me? My name's on that thing, God? I'm supposed to do that? Yet no other man in history has been charged with the tremendous responsibility he was given. He wasn't randomly chosen by God. He wasn't chosen simply because he and Mary were engaged to be married. He was most definitely not an afterthought or a footnote. He and Mary were betrothed because God had chosen him both and ordered their steps. So God has been at work in Joseph's life for a long time, for his whole life, before he ever knew the events that would unfold. God carefully molded and shaped Joseph into the man whom he could entrust this special assignment. Think about it. God is sending his own son coming to earth through a virgin, and Joseph was their protector. You think God would be training Joseph pretty good? Yes, he would. Joseph didn't know her, meaning marriage-wise, till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And here's a point of interest. People associate Christmas with Christ's birth. Amen? But the Bible doesn't teach us anything about the day or the calendar when Jesus was born. Do you know that? Yeah. So certainly gospel writers such as John and Matthew, who knew Jesus intimately, could have provided information about the time of his birth, but they did not do so. Why is that? Okay, John and Matthew knew when Jesus was born. They hung with him for 3 years. You know, by that time, he knows his birthday, but how come they didn't reveal that in their writing? Anybody got a wild guess? When you get it, would you tell me? Because I couldn't find it. So, is it right for us to think and study about the Lord's birth? But there's no reason to think that study should take place in December and not in January. I mean, we could have declared Christmas in January, right? Yeah. We could declare Christmas every month. That would be cool, huh? We get a lot of time off. Very expensive, I heard that, yes. Another point of interest, Matthew and Luke are the only gospel writers who discuss Christ's birth. So it wasn't splattered all over. So they were the only two. Luke writes about Mary's perspective, but Matthew associates the story with Joseph as the focal character. So Matthew, when you read Matthew, you're going to be hearing more about Joseph. Tradition says that it was Joseph, much older than Mary, and that he had died by the time that Jesus reached adulthood. And that's the general consensus. And basically, it doesn't say anything in the Bible. The last time that we heard of Joseph was when? Remember at the temple, when he was teaching at the temple at the age of 12, and his parents were all upset because they couldn't find him. And when they find him, what did he tell them? He says, I have to be about my father's work, is what he told me. And that was the last time you basically heard of Joseph. So the Bible doesn't give us a lot of information what happened to Joseph, when did he die, you know, was he here, was he there? And why do I say that? Because we're not supposed to go beyond the written word. You see a lot of books written about Joseph, and a lot of it is not true. I mean, they start talking about, oh, Joseph did this after a certain time. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not true. It's, the word says, do not go beyond what is written. So the Bible tells us little about Joseph, though Joseph is only mentioned 17 times in the New Testament. Tradition says that he was much older than Mary and that he had died by the time that Jesus reached adulthood. We don't know whether or not this is true, but he is not present with Jesus any time after the incident in the Temple of Jerusalem when Jesus was only 12 years old. Some points you might want to think about Joseph and concerning Joseph and Mary. Mary is identified as the mother of Jesus Christ. Joseph is not called his father. So there's little information in the Bible. And again, the best interpretation of the Bible is the Bible. So it's a good way to interpret what people say. Other people sometimes call Jesus the son of Joseph, and the genealogy in Luke 3, verse 23, identifies Jesus as supposedly the son of Joseph. But Bible writers were very careful to make it clear that Joseph was not truly the father of Jesus. And it's a contentious point because everybody has their view. How was he? Was it Mary's seed? Was it this or that and the other thing? And that you can work out because we'll get in one of those great big arguments, you know. How was Jesus? Was he put in the womb in total, or was he part of Mary's body and all that? And, you know, you have to figure that one out. We get in a big argument if we did. Note that Joseph is referred to in verse 19 as the husband of Mary, even though their marriage had not been consummated. So you see, betrothed couples couldn't simply break up their relationship, it had to be ended by a divorce. So Joseph intended to put Mary away when he learned of her pregnancy. Betrothal began after the groom, or in some case, the groom parents, had negotiated the price, the bride price, with the parents of the bride. In that. Just think if we did that today. You know, negotiate with the new coming in-laws how much, who's going to pay, who's going to pay what. Some kids may be sold really cheap, don't you think? Anybody have teenagers or had teenagers? Sometimes I'd sell them really cheap. Just take them. But what is our get back at them is what we do, is what we're going to do this afternoon. We're going to apply them with sugar, get them all fired up, and send them home. Amen? Amen. So Joseph is referred to in verse 19 as the husband of Mary, even though their marriage had not been consummated. And that, I don't have to explain consummated, do I? George does a good job of that. You can ask him. So betrothed couples couldn't simply break up their relationship, had to be ended by a divorce. Joseph intended to put Mary away when he learned that she was pregnant. So the betrothals began with the groom, or in some cases the groom parents, negotiating a bride price with the parents of the bride. At least some of the bride price had to be paid before the betrothal was announced. It sounds like you can get them on the payment plan that way. Didn't have to pay all of it. Or I wonder if they have a money-back guarantee on kids. No, Lord, I don't want that one. Can you take them back? At least till they're like 30, you know? In verse 25, it says, and they did not know her till she had brought, Joseph did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. There's a point of interest. Oh, I read that one already. So the betrothal usually lasted at least a year, sometimes considerably longer. Sometimes very young children were betrothed in arrangements made by the parents, and it was necessary to wait until the children reached an appropriate age to marry. And that age group, from what I've studied, could be anywhere from 13 years old to 16 years old, somewhere in that area. Sometimes very young children were betrothed in arrangements made by the parents, and it was necessary to wait until the child reached an appropriate age to marry. And that was the age, 13 to 16 years old. Now, Roman betrothals, something is interesting, used engagement rings, people of the Roman Empire, but it is not certain whether or not the Jews did it in the time of Mary and Joseph. So somebody asked me, where does the wedding ring come from? Well, they think it started back in the Roman age, but they don't know if it continued through the Jewish people. So Mary was found with child while she and Joseph were in the betrothal stage. And after Mary learned that the angel Gabriel, that she would be the mother of Jesus, she went to visit her relative Elizabeth in the hill country of Judah. And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months before returning home. Before long after this, Mary's pregnancy became obvious. Yeah, that happens, doesn't it? Her intended husband, Joseph, knew the child was not his. The Bible teaches plainly that Mary was a virgin. That means that Joseph had not committed fornication with her. So Joseph encountered an angel of the Lord who gave him the startling news that Mary will be the mother of the Son of God. So a lot was going on back then. This just man found himself with four options. He had four things he could do. First option, he could have gone ahead with the marriage plans. It is not unknown for a man to marry a woman who is expecting another man's child. I didn't know that. Did you know that? I didn't know that. However, Joseph was not interested in this course of action. Second thing he could have done. In the time of arranged marriages, betrothed couples were not necessarily in love with one another. Joseph could be excused for thinking that Mary was unworthy to be his wife because of what he assumed to be her immoral character. So that would be the second thing he can do. Thirdly, Joseph might also have felt that it would have been condoning immorality to marry Mary when he thought she had committed fornication with another man and conceived the child from the sinful act. And the fourth thing he could have done, Joseph could have insisted that the letter of the law be carried out and Mary would be stoned to death. How about that? Mary would be stoned to death. Deuteronomy 22, verses 23 through 24, it says, if a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out of the gate of that city and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she had not cried out in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife. So you shall put away the evil from among you. That was in the Old Testament. That's the way they lived. That. So an unmarried pregnant woman provides what one presumes to be absolute proof that she had been guilty of fornication. However, Joseph did not want to hurt Mary or to make her a public example. So he was really going out of his way to protect her reputation and the family's reputation. His solution was to put her away secretly. Y'all hanging in there? That's good. So in Deuteronomy 24:1, it says, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that he finds no favor with her because he has found some uncleanliness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, he puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house. And we see that in the Old Testament, in the household of David, when one of his sons lays with his sister, actually stepsister. As we have seen, there was a sense in which Joseph and Mary were already considered married, although they had not actually had a wedding or consummated the marriage. However, a divorce was required. A husband could have presented the certificate of divorce in a very public manner, designed to cause the greatest degree of shame and embarrassment to the woman. However, Joseph did not want to do that to Mary. He was minded to put her away secretly. Now, Here we go again. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And angels, we know, are messengers, and this angel had several important messages for Joseph. First, he said, "Do not be afraid to marry Mary." That's what the angel told Joseph. Joseph needed to know that Mary's virtue was intact. She was still a virgin, even though she was expecting a child. The astounding message was that which is conceived in her is that of the Holy Spirit. The scripture offers no explanation how this conception took place. And it doesn't. I checked all through the scriptures and that. It doesn't give us the physics of how this thing is going to work. Yeah. The astounding message was that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The scripture offers no explanation of how this conception took place. Mary's son will be the Savior. Call his name Jesus. Jesus is not a unique name in the Bible. It's simply the Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua. However, it's an appropriate earthly name for the Son of God. It means the Lord is my helper, or the Lord is my salvation. The reason God decreed that he would be called Jesus and stated, as stated by the angel, he will save his people from their sins. Just like Joshua helped Israel, but it would be Jesus who saved Israel and the world from sin. Short summary. Joseph encountered an angel of the Lord who gives him the standing news that Mary will be the mother of the Son of God. Prophecies is fulfilled in the birth of Jesus in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. Never happened before and never happened since. Has anybody heard of it happening since? No. Okay. The translation for virgin or young woman, the Hebrew is ambiguous, possibly allowing the translation young woman. However, there is no sign in a young woman having a child. However, there is no sign in a woman having a child. There's no special sign, or we do make a big deal out of babies, but there's no special sign. Such a thing happens all the time. The sign is found as when a virgin conceives and has a baby, bears a son. The Greek word used in Matthew is peritonis, and this word simply means virgin. Now, the last couple sentences here. The Greek word in Matthew 1:23, the word simply means virgin. Joseph is presented as a just man. The word Matthew used is dikatos, which can be translated just or righteous or upright. He was a man who wanted to do what was right towards others. Sure I got the right. Towards others. Other people and towards God. He wanted to treat Mary in a way that was acceptable to God. As we study the biblical story of Joseph, we are left with three strong impressions. He must have been hurt by what he thought Mary had done, but he was not harmful in his response to her. As men, we have to think that through. He must have been hurt by what he thought Mary had done, but he was not hurtful in his response to her. Secondly, he did not seek revenge. Romans 12:19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Thirdly, Joseph did not compromise integrity, but he acted with honor and compassion towards Mary, even when he thought she had betrayed him and bare a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He was able to believe an incredible story. Modern skeptics reject the Bible because they claim it's filled with unbelievable myths. It is, to them, a book of fairy tales. And if you read the Bible from front to back, there is a lot of unbelievable things. I always loved the one of Jesus walking on water. Do you remember that one? And they're in the boat, and Jesus goes walking by, the waves are rolling, says, "Hey guys, what's happening?" And they're all freaking out. Any of you ever see Jesus Christ Superstar? Yeah. You remember what Herod said to Jesus because he wanted Jesus to prove himself? There's a great song. The musical is fun. But Herod says to Jesus, he says, "Show me the Christ, walk across my swimming pool." So and all, every time I hear that scripture, I think about that. It is a good soundtrack. So Joseph had a deep personal stake in what had happened to Mary, and he was being asked to believe that she was still a virgin, although pregnant, that the child in her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph understood that according to that story, and marrying Mary would make him the object of ridicule. I mean, come on, give me a break. Eventually, you're going to see she's pregnant, right? And they're going to start doing the count back. Well, let's see. They didn't have their wedding till, you know, and Joseph knew this ridicule will come. Though it's interesting, the Bible didn't write anything about it. Did anybody come and say, pointing fingers at him? If he knew that she was pregnant, others also knew or soon would know. They would think either that he and Mary had sinned by having sex before they were fully married, or they would think that Mary had been faithful to Joseph and had slept with someone else. Neither alternative could have been pleasant for Joseph to contemplate, but he believed what the angel said. He was willing to obey whatever God wanted him to do. And that's really the whole story right there. He was willing to obey whatever God wanted him to do. The hardest part is finding out what God wants us to do, because ourselves get in the way all the time. You know, when God is calling you to do something, do we do it right away or do we argue with God? Is, you sure? You want me to do that? I'm not qualified to do that. So Joseph awakened from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took to him his wife. He went ahead and completed the process of marrying his betrothed. They had their wedding day, although no details are given in the Bible about their wedding day. However, Joseph did not know Mary in a sexual way until the birth of Christ. The Bible does not teach that Mary remained a perpetual virgin. Does that surprise anybody? That's what it means, because Jesus had brothers and sisters. Now, the natural understanding of verse 25 is that Jesus was born. Joseph and Mary had a normal marital relationship. This is totally consistent with the information given to us later about Jesus' brothers and sisters found in Matthew 12:47 and Matthew 13:55-56. That always gets a good conversation starting when you're speaking with somebody that maybe doesn't believe the same way with you and you tell them, "Oh yeah, Jesus had brothers and sisters." Hopefully it's not a gunfight or a knife fight, but the fact that you just want to have a conversation. It definitely opens it up. Joseph encountered an angel of the Lord who gave him the startling news that Mary will be the mother of the Son of God. And lastly, he named the child Jesus, Christ Jesus, just as the angel had commanded. When Herod undertook to kill the babies in Bethlehem, an angel of the Lord, there's that angel again, appeared to Joseph in another dream and told him to take his family safely to Egypt. The next verse says, he arose and went. Joseph did exactly what God told him to do. After Herod died, an angel again revealed to Joseph that it was safe to return to Israel. And Joseph again obeyed. Unlike so many people today, Joseph never tried to argue with God. He did what he was told. Now, the story of Joseph may sound boring, but put yourself in Joseph's shoes. That was a lot to take in. And put yourself in the position that Joseph is in, and would you act the same? I would have to tell you, no, I would not. God would have to be preparing me. So, ending with a scripture, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." That's in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Tony, you want to close this up in a song? And when we're done, you'll be dismissed, and I'll be glad to pray for anybody who would like to come up and pray.